Last week we looked at Gideon, and this week we're going to look at Barak, or really Deborah and Jael, two women. So let me read Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. And we have Barak, who is spoken of in Judges chapter 4, along with Deborah and so forth. So turn with me. We're going to be over there in Judges 4, and we'll be looking at that chapter. So turn to Judges 4, and we'll be looking at this chapter, Judges 4, verses 1 through 5. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Cana, who resided in Hazor. The commander of the army was Sisera, who dwelt in Hazoreth Haggium. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. And for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, was judging Israel at the time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. We have a pattern here, often repeated pattern in the Israelites, and it says, once again they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And once again, God will correct Israel and bring them back to himself. And the instrument of God's correction is Jabin, king of the Canaanites and the Cana people. And the commander of his army is Sisera. The army of Jabin was a strong army, and it consisted of 900 chariots of iron. And Jabin, he harshly oppressed Israel for over 20 years. We have elections for president every 4 years. Jabin has governed five times longer than that in a bad way over Israel. In 20 years, you could have a child born, go through his teenage years, and come out on the other side. And this harsh oppression by Jabin finally gets the attention of Israel to the point where they cry out to God. And they're crying out, help, Lord. And we can sort of identify as Christians here in America and find ourselves crying out to God as we see elected officials become more and more anti-Christ in their thinking, in the laws that they pass, and in their judgments. We have leadership in America now that is not Christian leadership. Maybe you've noticed. Maybe you have seen the anti-Christ mindset towards Christian believers. Remember 9/11? Right after 9/11, the churches were full of people wanting to turn back to God. Many repented, some didn't, some just wanted to go back to God. But after a few weeks, everything was back to normal as far as attendance in churches. And many of our godless leaders in government are opposed to Christians. The way we worship, in particular, they don't like the fact that we sing, and these kind of things. And they create within America, in the Christian community anyway, an unrest. And more Christians are being blamed for, quote unquote, civil unrest in America. Maybe we should look at Israel, take a note from their book, and see that they cried out to God for relief. Have we reached a point where we cry out to God for relief? Hopefully. The days of being passive as a Christian, as a believer, they're going by the wayside. God is pushing us off that fence. And you're either going to come down for God or against God. I urge each and every one of us to be salt and be light, because we're called to be a difference in our world. But in Israel, there resides a prophetess. Her name is Deborah. And she finds herself being a judge over Israel. Deborah has risen to being a judge in a very strong male-dominant society. And the people are coming to Deborah for judgment. And Deborah, as judge, she sends word to Barak, step up, Barak, and serve God. And so we have Deborah's words in verses 6 through 10 of Judges 4. Then she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and the multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And so she said to him, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in this journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. What we have here in Israel at this time, Judges implies that it was a time where men and women arose to judge over Israel, and there is right at this time a very lack of leadership, male leadership in Israel. Deborah is found by God as a willing servant that he can use. It's sad, in particular, when a man will not be willing to serve God. And this is a classic example of God using a woman to do what should be a man's duty. Deborah calls for Barak, and he gives Barak a command from God. "Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, and take 10,000 soldiers with you from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun. Go out and fight Sisera, Barak, the commander of Jabin's army, along with all his 900 chariots." And he has a multitude with him, not just 900 chariots, but there's a whole army, a multitude with Sisera. "For God will deliver you, and he will deliver Sisera into your hands. So go, Barak." He has a reply. "Okay, I'll go, but you got to go with me." Now, God, through Deborah, has given a monumental task to Barak. It's no small command to go up against this army that has been ruling over you for 20 years. Now, a chariot in those days was what we would call something like an army tank today. And Sisera has 900 chariots at his disposal. But Deborah, she has agreed to go with Barak, but she openly tells him, I will go, but glory will not come to you, Barak. All the glory of obeying God will come to me and women for this victory. And you want to cry out to Barak, come on, man, stand up and be a man. But God, in his economy, in his church, he has specific duties for men and specific duties for women. And they're separate duties, but neither is above the other. To us men, do not think you are wiser, smarter, stronger than women. That's a misnomer. God is using a woman here to encourage Barak, fulfill your duty as a man. And Deborah has commanded, go, Barak, gather an army of troops and fight against Sisera. For God himself is going to bring Sisera against Israel. God is setting this whole situation up. God has set up Sisera for defeat. And we have here, the battle has already been won by Israel. It just hasn't happened yet. In verse 14, a complete victory by the army of Barak happens over Sisera. Not one person is left alive to escape, only Sisera, who escapes on foot. But Sisera, he will meet another warrior woman that is aligned with Israel, and her name is Jael. She's the daughter of a Kenite, and the Kenites were in-laws of Moses. When Moses went to the backside of the desert, he took a Kenite woman for a wife, and likewise, these in-laws of Moses still are part of Israel. But Jael, she is a nomad in heart. She follows the sheep, their herders, and she is familiar with setting up tents and home life as much as you can in a tent. And one of her responsibilities in this nomadic life is to set up camp or set up tents. This makes Jael very familiar with using a hammer to drive tent stakes. But Sisera, he's on the run. He's fleeing from the defeat, and he thinks Jael is his ally, and he runs to her tent. And he says, give me a little water, for I am thirsty. Jael opens a jug of milk, something like buttermilk, and gives Sisera a drink and covers him up. Now, the last thing you want to do when you're really tired and thirsty is a bottle of warm milk. You just don't want that. But Jael tells Sisera, rest, take it easy, but here, have this glass of milk. And so verse 21, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and he went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Jael is an assassin. She's a warrior at heart, and she is a woman. She comes upon Sisera softly, and she drives a tent stake through his head, and she nails Sisera to the ground. Kind of gross. She's not afraid of Sisera in the least. And there's no drama here. Whack. One stroke with a hammer, Sisera is dead. I'm convinced that she didn't need several attempts to drive that stake down through his temple. One whack, and Sisera is dead. This sort of reminds me of David and Goliath. David, when he goes to face Goliath, he goes to the brook and he picks up 5 smooth stones. How many stones does David need? 1. But it's been rumored Goliath had brothers, so he's taken a few for the brothers. That's a rumor. Jael needed 1 whack with a hammer, and Israel's enemy, Sisera, is dead. He's nailed to the ground. When I was a youth, several years ago, my brother and I were given the chore of killing Sunday's dinner. And that would be a chicken. We had chickens. My brother and I had to kill the chicken. And when you cut off the head of a chicken, it will run about wildly. And you don't want that dead chicken slinging blood all over you, so you flee from the chicken. So I pose to you a question. Did Sisera do circles on the ground with this tent stake in his head? I think he did. But God uses another woman, not only Deborah, but he uses now Jael. And between Jael and Deborah, they defeat Jabin's army, king of Canaan. And Sisera is nailed to the ground. Let me read to you the last 3 verses of chapter 4 of Judges. You're interesting. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you the man whom you seek." And when he went into her, there lay Sisera dead with a peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Think with me here. Consider, God could have used Barak, who was pursuing Sisera, to slay Sisera. But Sisera's on the run, so God uses another woman. Remember Deborah's prophecy? "No glory will come to you, Barak, if I go with you, for God will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." I guess there was dishonor being killed by a woman. I'm not sure. But Deborah's hand, we would think, well, Deborah's a judge. She will be the one. But it was Jael, just a nomad sheep shepherdess that God uses to kill Israel's enemy. A lowly, no-name Kenite woman. And she has no reputation, not mentioned again. But Jael says to Barak as he approaches the tent, "Come, I will show you the man whom you seek." Is Jael taunting Barak? Perhaps, she might be. "You want to see your enemy? I got him nailed down over here." And there lay Sisera in his dust circle, dead with a tent peg in his temple. Okay, I want you men to consider. The next time a bug or a spider needs to be removed from your home, understand that little woman can do it and do it well. She doesn't really need your help. She's capable of destroying that bug. A few years back, not so many, a couple, 3 years back, we had a rat problem here at church. Not mice, a rat. You know the difference in a mouse and a rat? Size. A rat is much bigger than a mouse. So I set up big old rat traps in the kitchen under things and trying to hide them in my attempts to kill this rat. I get a call from one of the ladies here at church. There's a dead rat in the kitchen. I try to explain to this lady, we'll scoop it up in a dustpan or something and put it in the garbage can out front and don't worry about it. No way, she says, I'm not touching that rat. So I make a trip down here to investigate. And sure enough, there on the kitchen floor lies a dead rat. And he isn't in the trap. He's laying next to the trap. No visible wounds, but he's dead. And this rat is not dead from the trap, unless it gave him a heart attack or something, I don't know. And this totally puzzles me. Why is this rat dead with no marks or wounds on him? The lady assured me she had not touched the rat. I didn't touch him. But we had no more rat problem. So how do you draw a moral to that story? Well, I will attempt. God uses whom he pleases to be deliverers. And don't think because you're a child or a woman that you're immune to God using you for his service. In this case, Deborah and Jael are the heroes. But you read in Hebrews about Barak's faith. But it was Jael and Deborah who exercised faith, deliverance, faith. God using women in a great defeat of Israel's enemy of 20 years. So who's God going to use in our lives for deliverance? It may come in a strange and different place we never suspected. Can God use something, say, like a corona pandemic to shake us up into reality? Is it beyond God to use an election to get our attention here in America? God is not dead. He's still on the throne. And the tragedies of life can cause us to cry out to him. And we must realize God is for us. We are the sheep of his pasture, and he delights in delivering us. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, many times we think things are coincidence. We think our government leaders are backwards and afraid to stand up for you, and many of them are. But Lord, we want to be crying out to you, just like Israel did. After 20 years, Israel cried out to you for deliverance, and you delivered them. Lord, we're in a mess. Our country seems to be going more and more against you, Lord, and against your ordinances, and we're even allowing our government to tell us when we can meet and when we can't meet as a church, when can we worship and when we can't worship and don't dare sing. But Lord, you tell us, come, gather. Don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. You want us to worship you. So, Lord, help us to discern. Help us to choose rightly where to put your laws above the laws of men. Let us be about you and your kingdom, Lord. Let us be about fellowship, assembling together, worshiping you, in spirit and in truth. And Lord, give us boldness. Boldness to just obey you. So we pray for that. And Lord, we do cry out to you as a people here in quote-unquote Christian America for deliverance. We look to you, Lord, to make things right. Make things right in our government, or at least a turning back to you, Lord. We want to see America once again be a Christian nation. So help us, Lord. Help us to be salt and light. Help us to be courageous. Courageous in you. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.